My mother, who loved entertaining, was a senior manager in the National Department of Information and Communication Technologies. Whenever visitors were invited to share a meal with us, a heated debate about the digital world and its effect on Africa seemed unavoidable. Ah! As a boy, I remember being so frustrated by the inevitable delay in the serving of dessert. Something we only had when guests were present. But by the time I graduated from school, when the first comprehensive regulations were introduced, which addressed the data governance and enabled a legal environment conducive to the creation of digital tech businesses, I had a great appreciation for the seed sown during those discussions. Many of these same guests had contributed to the drafting of the regulations or had aided their passage through Parliament. International collaboration around policymaking meant we had been able to recreate select portions of some of the most forward-thinking regulations from around the world. Back in 2020, our legal policies already catered for regulation of robots and artificial intelligence, with guidelines for algorithms and their application to vulnerable groups of the population. Because our regulation was more stringent than legislations that existed in the neighboring countries at the time, some of Shapit's future-orientated businesses initially took a knock. At the time, there was a strong push for young people to pursue careers in fields that would contribute to a national culture of innovation. And I immediately gravitated towards the data science. From as early as our second year, our data science lecturers encouraged us to start developing real data or tech applications that went beyond the theoretical. So, I left university with a degree in data science and a fledgling tech product that had already achieved modest success in the market. Many of my peers were also entrepreneurs or researchers and were thrilled to be part of the thriving ecosystem that nurtured our talents and encouraged innovation. Our president loved to quote an African proverb, "When the music changes, so does the dance." Observing the extent to which foreign digital entities were making decisions that undermined the autonomy of individual African states, he sometimes added, "Aim to be the musician. You don't want to dance to the tune of the data colonizer." Some of my earliest innovations were in the field of robotics, as I was fascinated by the idea of robots and humans collaborating. My partners and I had considerable success in designing robots that could be deployed as an advance guard to respond to disasters and secure situations that were dangerous to humans. I am proud that the triage interface we developed enabled prioritization of serious cases, consultation with medical specialists, and coupled with 3D printing technology, dispatch of urgent medical products within minutes. In the late 2020s and early 2030s, when the worst ravages of climate change resulted in devastating mudslides in the countries on three continents, our factories couldn't keep up with the demand for robo-rescuers. And after powerful earthquakes hit a string of coastal cities bordering the Pacific Ocean, there was a clamor for not only our rescue and triage robots, but the technical skills of the many shapers who had developed and programmed them. More and more people from other countries started coming to Shapit to either learn from us, collaborate with us, or start a new business. We learned so much about advances in IoT from some of these newcomers that we were able to leapfrog existing technology. A few of us started a new business focusing on sensors and deep learning to predict major risk events. Where possible, disasters were averted. In the instances where that was not possible, at least the International Rescue and Response Command Centers were forewarned. That meant that technology, supplies, and robo-rescuers were already in place when disaster struck, thereby minimizing the loss of human life. While I was busy building those ventures, fellow shapers had been developing the digital architecture that underpinned the success of the African Continental Free Trade Area. Young people in the audience today may be surprised to hear that all over Africa, cross-border and particularly intra-regional trade used to be hampered by inefficiencies and corruption. By applying some of the logic of distributed ledger technology, we were able to create a continent-wide seamless system that provided transparency regarding the origin of the goods, real-time tracking of goods in transit, and secure digital payment facilities. compliance with the rigorous SHAPE data governance and cybersecurity regulations, and the replication of appropriate portions of the regulations in other member countries meant that the system enjoyed a high degree of trust. Some of the underlying technology and learnings were then applied to the development of a transparent revenue collection and allocation system. Megacities with governance structures that proved capable of proactively responding to challenges relating to urbanization, population growth, infrastructure deficits, or demand for work opportunities were given autonomy in withdrawing an appropriate level of revenue from the national fiscus as required. Tech spending was visible to all. The AfriTax system was later adopted by many other African countries. In 2038, when the ICGC, or International Climate Governance Council, was formed, locating the headquarters in SHAPE seemed an obvious choice. A number of SHAPEs were appointed to leadership positions in the council, and I was honored to chair for the first four-year term. The governance system was built on our secure digital architecture. The resulting transparency and cooperative human AI labor practices made significant interventions possible in a short space of time. Within a few weeks, a more equitable climate policy was introduced across the world. No longer could the countries that generated the most waste dump that waste in the least wealthy countries. Countries that were responsible for the biggest contributions to climate change were penalized for their actions. The behavioral intervention specialist, who was instrumental in compelling Cape Townians to reduce their water consumption back in 2018, was hauled out of retirement to head up the Climate Change and Consumer Behavior Response Force in North America. By 2042, communities in Africa and South America started noticing significantly different rainfall patterns and daily average temperatures, as they were no longer experiencing the devastating effects of pollution and excessive energy consumption caused by the consumers in the US, Europe, and China. The SHAPE-IT approach to development hasn't always made us popular, you know? Would-be colonizers expressed doubt about the ability of a relatively small African country to compete against the global superpowers in a digital age. Even within the country, some people grumbled about the emphasis on continuing education and the onus on individuals to keep reskilling themselves. But a brief look at the agenda for this Shaping the Future conference reveals where most of the evidence and anecdotes around designing the optimal future originate. We should not forget that many of these innovations have roots going back over 30 years. And dare I say, one or two of those roots may have even sprouted at my mother's dining room table.